You are now listening to Menace Podmen, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I am Scott Keller along with Steve St. Pierre, and this is Season 2, Episode 7. Hopefully everybody's continuing to enjoy their summer and still, you know, continuing to enjoy the podcast every week. Again, if there's any listeners out there that have any topics or ideas they'd like us to discuss on the show, you can always shoot us a message on Twitter or X or Threads or wherever you want. We're at Menace Podmen. There's actually also a link in the About section wherever you're listening to us. So if you're listening to us on Spotify, in the About section, there's a little link that will take you to our Spotify for Podcasters page, which will let you leave a voice message if you like. So get some kind of mailbag stuff going. That would be kind of fun.
Talk to us.
Also, of course, I go through the analytics all the time on the show just to try and see what kind of topics people are interested in each week. I don't know. I'm a nerd. I like the numbers. It's just me.
I know it's not just you. We're both nerds.
There you go. I noticed a lot of people kind of that listen skip through kind of the first things and the newsy stuff. Totally cool. I get it. People like what they like, and an hour show can be long sometimes. But just remember, we got those minutes in the show notes. So if you want to focus on certain spots, listen to certain spots, you have the ability to do that. So I'm just going to jump into some first things.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So we talk about buckets all the time on the NBA podcast. So I'm going to tie this together with Ace Hardware. So this weekend, Friday, August 4th through Sunday, August 6th, is Ace Hardware and the Children's Miracle Network. They kind of team up and they call it Bucket Days. Pretty cool. Basically, you just donate $5. It goes to a local charity that's associated with the Children's Miracle Network. And then you get 20% off, caveat, almost everything that fits into the 5-gallon bucket. So You give $5, they give it to charity, and you get a deal. So pretty cool. Go out. So if you got to buy some, go buy some stuff for the house. This weekend's a good weekend to do it. So go support some kids. Also, as far as some more good news, last week we highlighted Jaylen Brown. This week I'm going to highlight his teammate,
Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum has his own little foundation or charity as well. What is it called? I don't even remember. It's probably just the Jason Tatum Foundation or something. I don't know. Yep. Jason Tatum Foundation. There we go.
Good call.
But yeah, he does tons of great stuff, just as much as Jaylen Brown does as well. He's all about, you know, supporting the kids, supporting the teens, helping with their future and things like that. He was actually just in his hometown, St. Louis, which he supports in St. Louis a lot, throwing out the first pitch at the Cardinals Twins game. But yeah, just cool guy, doing a lot of good stuff for kids and community and everything. And I love to see that.
Keep it classy.
All right, so short first things today, so maybe nobody will skip that. this is the part they might skip. As we will go into, I'm going to go into a quick WNBA update.
Here's the update.
So, WNBA playoffs, if you're doing fantasy WNBA playoffs, quickly approaching. Next week, I believe it's the last week here. Is that week 11 or 12? I don't even know what number it is, but last week, so of the regular season. So if you're fighting for spots, make sure you're looking, you know, for some streamers or whatnot if you need to build up some points. I guess just some people to look out for. Not necessarily your girl, but you had her at the beginning of the year, Jessica Shepherd. Yeah. She finally returned to the Minnesota Lynx. She was on the non-COVID illness report for I don't know how long. It must have been at least half the season already.
Yep.
But she's returned, and she's actually looked pretty good. She has come off the bench, and Dorca Juhas has kept her starting spot. But she's putting up decent numbers. I actually picked her up on, I think, one of my teams. I have two teams, and just to get some stats in a little streaming spot. So she's awesome, available in many leagues. Indiana Fever, Erica Wheeler, Emma Cannon, they've been solid. And, you know, the last week, somebody to look at again, not to stash on your roster, but just, you know, pick up if they're available and you need some numbers. Kia Stokes I like a lot with Las Vegas. And I've noticed she, if Las Vegas, and with Las Vegas actually clinched a playoff spot the other day, the first team to do that at 21-2 now.
Yeah, they've been awesome.
Yeah, they're unstoppable. I don't know who's going to beat them. I don't, you know, I think it's New York or that's it. Those two, I think, are the only two that have a chance. But
and that's with Candace Parker going down.
Correct. Yeah, definitely with her going down. But yeah, I don't know. When they play crappy teams, and I say that because almost every team is crappy compared to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they're playing a team like Dallas, Connecticut, or New York, they're usually not so much garbage time for some other players, but when you see them playing other teams, they usually get big leads, blow people out, and that's when Kia Stokes is a good person to put in there. She gets a lot of garbage time points.
She's
been scoring 20-plus fantasy points some weeks or some games, so definitely take a look at her. And then another person started on your roster and probably still is Brittany Griner.
Yeah,
she's been out with for mental health reasons. This was the reason I did not want to draft her when the reason started.
Yeah.
And hopefully she'll come back, and hopefully it's just a few games and doesn't affect fantasy playoffs and things
like
that.
That's what I'm hoping for.
But in the meantime, yeah. Megan Gustafson has been amazing.
I was just going to say that. I picked her up this morning. They play tonight. Griner's going to miss her third straight game. So, yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. But for now, Gustafson's been on a roll.
Yeah, she's been solid. She's been averaging over 27 fantasy points per game in the last four games. So she's been great. So that's all I have. Oh, no, actually, I got a couple more things real quick. We gave LeBron his due when he became the all-time scoring leader. So I got to give Diana Taurasi her due. She's in her 19th NBA or WNBA season. She's 18 points away from breaking 10,000 career points. She's already the league's all-time leading scorer, but she's awesome. I love her. I actually watch a bunch of stuff. She kind of sounds weird in a way, but she kind of reminds me of me a little bit. She shoots the kind of the sideways, how you throw a dart.
Yeah, that's true.
She shoots that way. I always shoot that way. And she's got the quick release and not a long follow through. The same as me. So I don't know. I draw some comparisons to myself to her, and it feels great.
She's always been so fun to watch, and she's so athletic, and just plays the game the right way.
She does.
Even now, as an older player, like, still looks good. Still looks like she could keep going. I don't know how much longer she's going to play, but I mean, she looks like she could still keep going. And I'm sure even if she retires from WNBA, she'll be playing in pickup games and stuff like that for a long time.
And she'll probably be on somebody's bench coaching people real soon too, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think I draw some comparisons to her. She's kind of like the LeBron of WNBA in a way. She's just got that long, successful, amazing career. So,
and just passion for the game.
Exactly. Good, great person too. If you can just watch all these different videos and things of her talking about things, she's just, she'd be, I'd like
super
to hang
cool.
out with her. Speaking of other comparisons, Alyssa Thomas of the Suns, I just had to mention her. She's been like the Nikola Jokic of the WNBA this year. She's just triple double machine. These are the lines from her last two games. So if you go Sunday, July 30th, 17 points, 14 boards, 11 assists, 2 steals. Insane. And then you go to the next game Tuesday, August 1st, 21 points, 20 boards, and 12 assists, 3 steals, and a block. She's been like this all year, but those last two games just,
very Joker-like.
Exactly. And it puts her in the MVP conversation for sure. So let's see. So I think that covers WNBA. It covers some first things, and then I just had some random thing I had to talk about. So I was on eBay randomly, I don't know why, and for some odd reason I started looking up basketball cards. I actually don't have any of my sports cards I used to have when I was a kid. I don't know if you have any of yours.
I've got them around.
Yeah,
I think they're in, I think I have some in my room or they're in my basement, but they're around.
I don't have anything. I think I had a small little thing. I had a guy come around for a garage sale, and I was like, I don't want these. They're worth more to you than they are to me. So he was probably pretty happy. But I don't know. For some odd reason, I went on there and I started buying some old basketball packs of cards. I haven't received them yet. I can't wait. And I was trying to buy kind of like 90s, early 90s basketball cards. And I had that epiphany where I realized the basketball cards that I loved the most were the old inaugural 90 and 91 Skybox basketball cards.
Oh, yeah. I think I got some of those.
I loved them. And I think you either loved them or hate them because they were either super ugly to you or they were sweet. The 1990 was the one that had like the gold border around it and like the, I don't know, more the it was like a darker one, whereas like the 91 had like that white one with the different designs behind everybody. I loved them. So I bought a few packs, got them for a couple bucks, and they're on their way, and I can't wait to open them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't collect for very long. There was just kind of like a 2-year period or something like that, but that really was a great time. And yeah, I've still got my cards, so I haven't looked at them in a long time. I should probably find them and break them out.
Yeah, I was gonna say, me and your wife's brother, my cousin, we were, that's basically all we did was play like Nintendo and look at cards the entire time. He had a lot more
than
I did.
Incredible.
It was a lot of fun. But your father-in-law, he's got some great cards, baseball cards and stuff.
Nice.
Anyways, so should be fun. Maybe I'll get them. We get together. We can open them together. Be sweet. Yeah. All right. So I think you've got some updates, transactions, injuries, things of that nature.
Yeah, we are a little bit busier this week than last week. We'll start with the bad news first. Montrezl Harrell, he's got a torn right ACL and meniscus. Apparently he did it during off-season workouts. He's likely out for the upcoming season. So my guess is they're going to apply for the whatever it's called, the injury waiver exception, whatever it is, injury exception. And that basically allows them an extra roster spot so that they can sign somebody else in his spot. And then he still gets his money, still gets paid. He can still be on the team and still rehab with the team and all that stuff. So that's kind of my guess, but they could technically release him. Either way, doesn't sound like he'll be playing this year. So, you know, hopefully he gets better. And, you know, we talked before about how Philly went out. They were pretty aggressive, especially on big men. They brought back Paul Reed and they brought in Mo Bamba. And, you know, obviously they've still got Joel Embiid. So you know, they're still pretty loaded at the center spot. But in any case, you know, that does hurt their depth a little bit. So wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if they apply for the injury exception and then try to get somebody else in there. As far as signings go, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, Giannis's brother, he re-signed with the Bucks on a 1-year deal. So now we've got the Antetokounmpos back. We've got the Lopez brothers back. So we will be, I'm sure, seeing a ton of that wrestling stuff that I talked about before. Pretty hilarious. Garrett Temple.
I did look that up, by the way, after you told me to. So.
Yeah, hilarious. Garrett Temple signed a 1-year deal with the Raptors. Just a solid veteran. He'll really help that team. You know, they've got, we talked about how they've gotten younger, how they've lost a lot of their players recently. So getting a veteran guy who can come in there and, you know, help out both on the floor and the locker room, it's a good pickup. And then I saw today, right before we jumped on, Trendon Watford signed a 1-year deal with the Brooklyn Nets. So that's a good pickup. Just, you know, he's a play. I was actually surprised that Portland let him go. I mean, he's had some good moments with them and he's a younger guy. I would have thought that they'd hang on to him, but in any case, you know, Brooklyn picks him up and, you know, they can use the depth. So it's a good move there. As far as waivings go, Jonathan Williams, he was waived by the Blazers. And it sounds like he's going to camp with the Rockets. So he's going to have to earn a spot. Nothing's guaranteed, but he will be in training camp with Houston. And then this guy, I didn't even know the Champ Pennies. I feel so bad about this family. Like
Champagne.
I mispronounced their name. And as soon as I did that, I feel like I haven't been able to get away from these guys. we'll talk about his brother on the Spurs later, but Justin Champagne was on the Boston Celtics and apparently he was waived. So he is now a free agent. We'll have to see if he winds up with somebody in training camp. I'm sure he will. I'm sure we haven't seen or heard the last of them. So Champagne is how you say their name. But of course, you know, we'll be pronouncing it other ways.
Maybe he somehow ends up in San Antonio or something.
That'd be great. I'd love to see that. I'll drink a toast to that.
Yeah. Have the
champagne.
And, one of my new favorite drops of all time. I was creating that thing and I was just crying laughing.
That might be the best. It's up there for sure. And that's it. That's all I've got on transaction.
That's all I got, my brother.
All right. No, thank you for that. Thank you for that drop as well.
Thank you. Team effort.
Yep. All right. So I don't think we have anything on this side of the break, but we're going to hop back into our team breakdowns individual. We had to follow up on OKC and San Antonio, and then we'll start with the East Group A on the other side of this message.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
All right, so let's get into our individual team breakdowns here on the other side of the break. First, I just actually saw something. Zach Hanshew, kind of fantasy analyst. He was in different spots. I think he's at NBC Sports Edge right now. Yep. I liked a tweet or thread from him. Basically, he put out his one fantasy basketball sleeper from every NBA team. So he has one from every NBA team. Some of them might be more of a stretch and some of them are maybe less of a sleeper than you might think. But it's just really short, really quick read. And it just gets you thinking about, you know, positions that have been vacated or things like that. So just some under the radar options that, you know, could make an impact on your fantasy team at some point. So
yeah, he makes a lot of really good points on these guys. So it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, so go ahead and check him out. I follow him. He's awesome. He's got a lot of good content. So, all right. So we left off last week. I don't know what group this is. The C, is it on C now?
Yes.
West. So it's the bottom half of that. So I think this will be kind of the last people in that group. I guess we'll start off with Oklahoma City Thunder. They finished 40-42 last year in the West, which was, I believe, 10th. I don't know if it was actually 10th or that's what it ended up being, but they lost in the play-in to, who was that? New Orleans or something? I think. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. No, it wasn't New Orleans. Was it Minnesota? I don't remember. I don't remember now, but they're right on the verge. I mean, we're going to get into it here, but they're such a good young team and they finally look like they're going to be healthy and they're going to be full on ready to compete. No more tanking, no more resting guys, hopefully. And hopefully we see these guys full strength, ready to go. They did acquire Victor Oladipo over the offseason, and obviously he won't be playing anytime soon. But other than him, I think their team looks, you know, back and healthy and ready to go here. So, you know, you got to start with their backcourt. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddey, nice, young, dynamic, you know, group of guards with lots of size and skill, very fun to watch. And then you throw into that mix a healthy Chet Holmgren, who's, you know, considered a rookie this year because he missed all of last year. He's going to be really fun to watch with those guys. And another guy who was a rookie last year coming into his second season now, Jalen Williams. And they have two Jalen Williamses on their team.
I still can't remember which one spelled correct, which one I'm talking about.
The one I'm talking about is Jalen. He's their starting small forward. He had a great season last year. He was a sleeper pick of mine, speaking of sleepers.
I
drafted him and had him all year and loved it. It's great, man. Such an awesome feeling to get one of those sleeper picks right. You know, I've Lord knows I've had a lot of them wrong, but I got that one right. It felt good. I assume that Lou Dort will remain in the starting lineup at the other forward spot, but it's really anybody's guess. You know, I think we'll kind of see mixing and matching a little bit. They still have guys like Kendrick Williams, the other Jaylen Williams, J-A-Y-L-I-N, Alexei Pokuševski. They've got him still.
Yep, I believe he's the sleeper on the aforementioned list we talked about.
He is, yep. They brought in Micić from the, I forget where he's from, the EuroLeague, I think.
I was going to say Europe.
Yeah, let's just go with that. They've got a stacked roster. A lot of young guys. They brought in Davis Bertans, who I still think can make a valuable contribution. Obviously, he's overpaid. He's going to get $17 million this year. But when he's healthy, I mean, he can get real hot real quick from downtown and he can light it up. I think he'll do a good job of spacing the floor for them and just providing some leadership. You know, that's going to be the one thing with this team is they're almost too young. They don't have any like real vets, you know, so it's going to be kind of interesting. But like we said, they're getting ready to turn a corner and, you know, kind of move up a level, so to speak. You know, they were in the play-in. I think this is the year that they go for it, get into the playoffs, and maybe even advance a round or two. We'll have to see.
So to correct myself and go back, though, they beat New Orleans in the first playing game and then lost to Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Well, so we were both sort of right.
Yep.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like them a lot. In terms of fantasy, we'll start with SGA. He is absolutely a top three pick in my opinion. I mean, he was a top three guy last year. He turned that corner and proved that, you know, not only does he have the talent, but he has the ability to stay healthy and stay on the floor. And, you know, we talked all about it. He finished number two in totals and number three per game. So
I'm still kicking myself a little bit because in our fantasy keeper league last year, I had the top pick and I was just debating hardcore between Kevin Durant and SGA because I was just looking at SGA's progression throughout the last, what has he been in the league, 5 years? So every year he's just keeps getting better and better. There's one year he dropped off just a little bit, but then rebounded right back up.
Yeah, but it's in your defense, he hadn't made that jump yet.
No,
to the elite status. And up until now, you know, we've had the concerns about him getting shut down, getting rested. You know, we've talked all about their tanking and stuff. They don't look like they're going to be doing that anymore. Hopefully they have a million draft picks. I mean, they've got all these guys. If they're healthy, if they're ready to go, let's see them, throw them out there, let them compete. And we talked about, you know, with the new CBA and like these guys going for the awards and stuff. Now you got to play 65 games. So now's the chance, you know, if these guys can stay healthy and stay together, I mean, they're going to be fun to watch. And yeah, like I said, SGA, elite player, absolutely worth one of your top picks. If you've got a pick in the top three, go get him. You know,
the man gets to the free throw line, I think, is the biggest thing for me. I love that I think he averages what, 10 free throws a game or something like that last year.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things about him. Cause even if that's, you always hear that the cliche, like if the shot's not going or something during the game, get to the free throw line and start seeing the bucket, you know, see the ball go in and stuff. And it's true. And it's true. And I love it. So I think he's been earning his way to the stripe. And I think that's just makes him better and better.
Yeah. I mean, if I have the number one overall pick, I'm taking Jokic, no questions asked. But if I've got the number two pick, I don't mind taking SGA there because, you know, we talked about it. He's really good. He was very good last year from a total standpoint. He played in enough games. He kept his foot on the gas. And the other thing, we've talked about this kind of off air. There's a like huge lack of guards throughout the course of the draft. Like all the guards go early and often. So grabbing an elite point guard early, I mean, that's the way to go for sure. So I don't mind somebody taking him at number two, but definitely number three. I'm taking him for sure. And I've always loved him. He was the guy that like we've talked before about how we were both kind of early on people. I was super early on SGA.
Yeah.
And it backfired on me a couple times, but I love his game, you know, and yeah, he's the man. Josh Giddey, he's got a little bit of developing still to do from a fantasy standpoint. He's got a lot of inefficiency.
I mean, he also looks like he's like 16 still. So
yeah, exactly. So
he might have some more development. Too, he probably like not does. In a bad way. Like,
But in any case, you know, the sky's the limit with him too. And, you know, I think he's going to turn a corner as well. I see him as like a mid-round guy, and anybody that wants to reach up a little bit to take him, I don't mind it. Again, you know, especially if you're in need of a guard, you know, the guards are going to go early and often. So if you see yourself kind of behind a little bit, you need to grab somebody, you can reach up a round or so and take a flyer on him. Because like you said, I mean, these guys are young, they're getting better every year. You know, as long as they can stay healthy,
I was going to say, Giddy usually seems to fill out multiple categories too, if I remember correct from same game parlay stuff. He's not always that guy who's going to score over 20 points, but he gets 10 rebounds, double digit rebounds sometimes, and assists in games. So
yeah, he's got a lot of size. I think he's like 6'6" or something like that. I mean, he's just a, you know,
and now he's got his fellow Aussie Jack White too. So
exactly. So yeah, man, they got an awesome backcourt. We talked about Jalen Williams again, the starter, Jalen Williams, Jalen. I love him too. He's another mid-round guy, and he's another one that, like, you know, if you need a shooting guard, small forward, in the mid rounds, look no further. You know, he's solid. Chet Holmgren, I'm pretty high on him. I've got him up near like the 40 spot. I got him right by our boy Walker Kessler. Mm-hmm. And I think they're both similar players, similar skilled. I do think Holmgren, there's a lot of hype with him, obviously, and rightfully so. But we need to see, can he stay healthy? And, you know, how is he going to look out there? Is he going to be handling the ball a lot? Is he going to be doing a lot of like perimeter stuff? Or is he going to pretty much be, you know, rim running? You know, we got to kind of see. I think we're going to see a little bit of a mix. I'm excited about his potential. Obviously, the big thing with him is the shot blocking. You know, he's blocking shots left and right. Summer league, he was doing it last year. He's done it all this year. And that's where his value is going to be in fantasy for sure.
You're blocking the crosswalk.
Exactly. So, yeah, like I said, I'm high on him. I think he's going to go, you know, pretty early in drafts, especially by the time we're all drafting right before the season starts. If he looks even decent in preseason, he's going to skyrocket up to maybe second round. Definitely like third, fourth round for sure. So if you want him, be ready to pounce on him early.
Yeah, I think we talked about it in an earlier episode where or I talked about it at least, where I like Chet Holmgren above the other guy from San Antonio. So that's the way I feel too. But you're right. It'll be gauged probably on, you know, preseason performance.
Yeah. And then, you know, with the rest of their team, there isn't anybody else that I'm drafting in fantasy. But obviously, if they have any kind of injuries and stuff, a lot of the same names that we've seen kind of on and off waiver wires in the past, Lou Dort, Pokuševski, Kenrick Williams, Robinson Earl, all these guys, you know, could have value at some point. Micić, we'll have to see how he looks. I think they're going to kind of bring him along a little slowly, especially at the beginning, but we'll see. You know, because these guys are all so young, you know, there's potential that like somebody could leapfrog somebody else in the rotation. So, you know, I think it's going to be a big training camp for these guys, kind of see who fits at what spot. We might see some mixing and matching as far as the lineups and the rotations go. It might not be a set lineup from game to game. You know, we'll have to kind of see. But that's kind of the way I look at this team in terms of fantasy.
Yeah, I've got nothing more to add to that. I think we just go right on into the San Antonio Spurs narrow.
Obviously. Yeah, speaking of the hype train, speaking of these top rookies, and speaking of shot blocking.
Exactly.
We got our man with the meats.
Victor.
We have the meats.
Victor Wembanyama, the number one overall pick. You know, everybody wanted him. The Spurs got him. I called it. I said they were going to get him, and I was absolutely right. And he's a great fit. You know, everybody's going to be high on this guy. I haven't seen him in mock drafts fall below like 25. I think he's definitely a second rounder. Well, maybe not second rounder. He's kind of like a second or third. If he's another one that, like, if he looks really good in preseason, he will not go past the second round. So, if you want him, be ready to grab him with your second round pick. As far as the rest of their team though goes, we've talked about it. They've had a lot of inconsistency in their lineup, a lot of guys in and out due to health reasons. The Spurs had a lot of tanking going on, and obviously rightfully so, because it worked for them. But I do like Devin Vassell. I think he's got a really solid game, both ends of the floor. A lot of room to grow too. He's a guy that can take another leap forward. I was higher on him last year. He was kind of like one of my guys. I had him on both of my teams. I was getting him a lot in mock drafts. I was being really aggressive with him. This year, it's kind of like, if he's there, cool. But if not, I do think he's going to take a little bit of a hit with Victor being there. But I do think they're going to be careful with Wembanyama. I think they're going to limit him, especially like back-to-back settings and stuff like that. We talked about the 65-game requirement. So, that's a good thing. That leads to, more time on the court versus, sitting. But I like Vassell's game. I think he's a solid mid-rounder if you need a shooting guard, small forward type. I would say the same thing about Keldon Johnson, but man, his game's just kind of empty. He doesn't do very much defensively. We've talked about him before. He can score and he can rebound pretty well. And again, I think he takes a little bit of a hit with Victor being there. So,
I completely agree. I got screwed with Keldon a couple of years ago. Yeah. I made a trade for him at the end of the year, and I thought he was moving trajectory, not last year, but the year before at the end of the year.
We talked all about it. I remember that. And he was going up.
Yeah, he was going up, made the trade. I thought it was a great trade. And this is in a keeper league, I believe. And then the next year is just pretty much useless almost.
Yeah. So, he's definitely draftable. Don't get me wrong. If he's there like after 100, I'm fine with taking him. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think he's that much better than like a Jeremy Sochan or a Doug McDermott. I think they're going to just use all these guys. And we still have to see what happens with their final roster. And of course I cannot leave out Julian Champagne. he's, I didn't know how to pronounce his name. And as soon as I said that, they're like, oh, he's in summer league. And oh, by the way, he's awesome. Yep. They just kept saying his name over and over and over again, but rightfully so. I mean, he looked great all summer long, and I think he's going to be in the rotation. If he is, he's going to cut back some of Keldon's minutes. And so a lot of these guys, I think, are real interchangeable. I actually think they're going to start Victor at the four, and I think they're going to start Zach Collins in the middle. And Collins is another guy. He's been kind of in and out of the lineup. He's always hurt. But when he's out there, he shows, all kinds of promise. And, he's a good athlete. He's a good player. But again, on that team, it's going to be hard to tell, like, who's going to have the usage, who's going to have the ball in their hands. Their point guard position is all over the place. Trey Jones, I assume he's going to start again at that spot. But, they brought in Cameron Payne. If he winds up staying on this team, that might be a 50-50 split right there. But then you've also got Devontae Graham. You've also got Malachi Branham. You've got Blake Wesley's there. You've just got all these guys that they're going to be looking at and they're going to be giving minutes to. So I actually, in terms of fantasy, I don't want any of those guys, including Jones. I think even as a starter, I don't trust him. I don't think he was that great last year. And he had such a good opportunity last year to really come out and prove himself as a regular starter in the NBA. And, I think he's a good player. I think, don't get me wrong, like, I think in real life, like, he's an impact guy in a rotation, but I don't see him as like a starting point guard. So I don't know, even if he begins the year as a starter, I could see him maybe losing that spot depending on how they look early on. If they lose the first handful of games, I could see Popovich, making a switch there.
True.
So the only guys that I'm looking at in fantasy are Victor and Vassell for sure. And then, Keldon Johnson, late round, sure. Zach Collins, you want to take a flyer on him, sure. And otherwise, the rest of these guys, I think, are going to be kind of like waiver wire type guys. Again, depending on like who's healthy, you know, who's hot at the moment. They've got a lot of guys that could be kind of in and out of the lineup. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Another young team.
As I say, Trey Jones. Yeah, I would not draft him. I don't think he's draftable right now. And if it is anything, it's your very last pick or something.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to pick him in the last round, that's fine. Especially again, if you're in need of another guard and he's the only starter left on the board, whatever, that's fine. You could take him in the last round, but just be ready to cut him, especially if he's not doing much early on. And if there's a hot waiver wire pickup, you know, don't hesitate to make that move.
Yeah, definitely don't be attached to him. And like you said, just based on being burned before Keldon Johnson, I won't draft him personally because I never want to see him on my team again. Jeremy Sochan, you mentioned, I do like Jeremy Sochan a lot, but I agree with you. I think it's going to matter on the matchups of the team they're playing when Victor's at the four or the five. So,
or if Victor sits or if somebody gets hurt or something like that, then I absolutely like him as more of a waiver wire pickup type of guy. But I'm not drafting him, I don't think. Mm-mm. Just because, like I said, you know, so many questions about their lineup. And, you know, if all of those guys are healthy and are all playing, I just think there's too many bodies and too many similarly positioned and skilled guys to make that, you know, to have any of them really stand out in fantasy. So.
Personally, I don't think I'm drafting anybody but Victor, and I know I won't draft Victor because I'm not going to reach up to where he's probably going to get drafted. To me, I'd be waiting long. I'd take Chet Holmgren over him, and then he'd, you know, somebody to take him. So he'd be gone already by the time I ever even thought about it. But I think that wraps up the Western Conference. Yep. We definitely got some time to start the Eastern Conference here.
Let's do it.
Let's just start with the Philadelphia 76ers. They finished season 54-28 last year. They were the third seed in the East. We saw them lose to Boston. Before that, I think we started recording here. I was like, man, but you were like, it was seven. I was like, they were up too, right? Yeah. And they blew that 3-2 lead going home, and Boston won 6-7, and that was history for them.
Yeah, and obviously we saw they made the coaching change. Doc Rivers fired. Nick Nurse brought in.
Fresh milk.
So now they got a fresh coach here. And we're going to have to see how fresh their lineup is. I think they're kind of coming in with the same group of guys. You know, we'll start with Joel Embiid first because he's so awesome. Had such a great year last year. Stayed pretty healthy. And he's a guy, you know, we talked about that number two pick. If you're not taking Shea, I think you have to take Joel Embiid at number two. Just so good, so dominant. And again, I think this 65-game requirement helps a lot of us fantasy players out because, you know, we have to assume that these guys are going to at least be playing in that many games. I think, you know, it's a no-brainer pick right there. If he falls to three, if you've got the third pick, and it goes Jokic, SGA, I don't think you hesitate. Go ahead and grab Embiid and build around him comfortably. No problem. Speaking of problems, though, now we need to talk about James Harden.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked all about the whining and stuff that we've had. Awesome. Yeah, it's just been out of control. We've talked all about this. We don't know what's going to happen. He had an opportunity to just leave as a free agent and go wherever he wanted to. But for some weird reason, he opted into his contract, but then requested a trade. So there's been no update on that situation. The Clippers sound like they're interested, but I don't think they're offering very much for him. And so I don't think the Sixers are in any huge rush to trade him. I think they're just going to kind of, you know, try to convince him to stick around. He's got 1 year left, you know, just go one more year here. He's got all of his old Houston Rockets buddies, teammates and stuff. I think they're just going to try to convince him to stick around and one more push.
I was going to say, I don't think we learn anything about him until after the Dame situation gets figured out.
Yeah.
And, And that's not going to be anytime soon, I would imagine, if not at all. So,
And there are reports and stuff that he's saying, you know, I'm not going to hold out. I'm not going to not play. You know, he's just going to, he'll play, but he just won't be happy, which is, you know, half of his career, seemingly. I mean, indefinitely, that's how he was with Brooklyn. So
that's like me at my job. You know, I'll show up and get paid, but I'm not going to be happy.
Well, you're not going to, hopefully you're not going to be showing up, you know, 100 pounds overweight or whatever, like he's done before.
Yeah. I'm also not making 35.6 million a year. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what to really say about Harden. I think he's a fine second round pick. You know, we talked about how the guards go early and often, so you don't want to let him slip too far. I get that there's, you know, trepidation and, you know, people are going to be worried about what's going to happen there and how's he going to look. You know, he's a guy that I think we're really going to want to check in preseason and see, you know, how's his body looking? How's his body language looking? Is he out there actually playing? Yeah, exactly. So, and in the meantime, that makes Tyrese Maxey that much more appealing to me in fantasy. I think he's a guy, I've been drafting him a lot in mock drafts. He's a guy that I really like, you know, and we've talked about these young guards that just keep getting better and better every year. He's another one, you know, he's a guy that has tons of room to grow. And again, if Harden does wind up missing time, if he winds up holding out or if he comes in out of shape and winds up getting hurt or something, who knows, you know, they're just going to hand the ball to Maxey, just be like, all right, this is your team now. So I really like him. I like him in the mid rounds. And another guy I like in fantasy, I always have, always will, Tobias Harris, your former neighbor.
Yes, sir.
And Toby's the man. You know, he's a guy that like always falls every year because he's kind of boring. He's a little older. You know, he's not a splashy name. And so he always falls in drafts. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, we're at pick 90 or whatever. Let's go ahead and grab him. And he always outperforms wherever he's drafted. And just a quality fantasy player, especially a nine cat, just does a little bit of everything, very consistent. And so I like him a lot. And then another guy I really like on their team, he's not a starter, but D'Anthony Melton. He's a guy that I've been getting in a lot of mock drafts late, you know, one of my last picks. He had a really good year last year. I don't remember what he finished at. I'm going to try to find it real quick if I can.
Sorry, I was going to say, anybody who doesn't know that story, I actually used to live in a fancy little high-end apartment community.
Yeah, I was going to say a siren.
And that's only because my wife worked for the company that we lived at the buildings that they own.
It was
pretty nice.
Nice
and
area.
It was not too far from the Palace of Auburn Hills. So, but it was also not too far from Detroit. So we had a lot of Tigers, Pistons, you know, even Lions. Named a sport, Wings. They all lived around, so I would see them around. I actually lived right above Rasheed Wallace at one point too. So that's pretty cool awesome. As well.
So D'Anthony Melton was 75th per game last year. So he's a very solid player that just kind of gets overlooked because he's not a starter. But again, you know, if anything happens to Harden or anybody else, I mean, he's going to be one of the first guys to benefit. Now they did bring in Patrick Beverley. So they do have a lot of guards. We'll have to kind of see if they are all healthy. We'll have to see how the minutes are looking. Melton's been a guy in the past that we've all kind of liked his fantasy game, but then we've seen him not play enough minutes. That could be the case again. You know, Nick Nurse in the past, he's always kind of stuck to his guys. You know, he plays the guys, he comes up with a rotation and he says, these are my guys. And he just puts them out there and leaves them. So I do think PJ Tucker is going to start at the four still. But you know, we'll see a lot of guys kind of in and out of that spot. You know, but we'll have to see, you know, like I said, we'll have to see how Nick Nurse, does his rotation, you know, and is he going to be playing these guys, you know, 36, 37 minutes a game, or is he going to spread it out a little bit? You know, maybe at the beginning of the year, he spreads it out. And then like, you know, as we get into January, February, he starts to tighten up the rotation, you know, as we get closer to the playoffs, we'll have to wait and see, but that's basically how I view their team in fantasy. I think if you draft Joel Embiid with your very last pick, if you want to take a Paul Reed or a Mo Bamba, you can. I don't necessarily think that you need to do that. I think you're better off maybe just having those guys both on your watch list and ready to pounce on them if and when something does happen to Embiid.
Correct. Yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. I think as far as these guys, though, it just in my mind, the way I'm approaching stuff, Joel Embiid, I probably will not get because, like you talked about going, and we've seen it in mock drafts and stuff that we've been doing, that we kind of go guards first, as you mentioned earlier. And I would take, you know, an SGA over an Embiid just myself personally. Tobias Harris, yeah, he's a late guy that you definitely picked up. But as you mentioned, Tyrese Maxey, I've talked about and raved about him in previous episodes. I love Tyrese Maxey. He's like,
yeah, he's the man.
He's like one of my favorite NBA players that in the entire league right now.
Agreed.
Like,
yeah, he just seems like a really cool guy.
He seems awesome. I like the way he plays. I like the progression he's going on. And he gets the time and he gets the, like, if I wish James Harden would leave. I would like James Harden to leave because I would like Tyrese Maxey to get handed the keys kind of a little bit, because I can see him progressing and turning into what De'Aaron Fox turned into last year. Like, I can see him being that guy. Maybe I'm.
That's a good call right there.
Maybe I'm over ecstatic at it. No, but I love him.
Preach.
That's what I like to see. And going in, maybe I don't know if you're done with the Sixers here, but yeah. Going into, I'm going to skip over a team in our list, and we could go straight to Atlanta. But I can Atlanta Hawks as well. Trae Young is another one of those guys that I feel like he's at that point where if he just, like De'Aaron Fox, just gets more efficient, and we saw that happen last year. He gets efficient. Yeah. He pulls the trigger. He's huge. The sky is the limit for Trae Young. But
yeah,
we can talk about Atlanta if you want.
Yeah, we could do Atlanta. I think the biggest thing, though, with him is he's got DeJounte Murray there with him, too. So, you know, how much is he going to keep kind of deferring? I thought they looked good together. I thought they played well together. But like you said, you know, Trae Young, he's got those inefficiencies that he has to shake, just like De'Aaron Fox did. I mean, it starts with that shooting. He's got to get better. He's got to take better shots. I know he can, you know, he can launch it from way downtown. You know, he's another one of those logo guys. He's not afraid to shoot it from there, and he can hit it, but is that the best shot for your team? Is that the shot that's going to put your team, you know, over the in the win column? You know, are you going to get the dub? You know, is it a winning play? And I think deferring to DeJounte Murray is a good thing because DeJounte is really good too. And he's another guy I've been getting in a lot of mock drafts. I like him a lot. I think he's kind of, we talked about it, I think last week, I kind of view DeJounte as like kind of that second tier. I view both of those guys, DeJounte and Trae Young, kind of in that like second tier of point guards after that initial wave of like all the mainstream marquee name guys, you know, the guys that typically finish like first, second round.
Sure.
You know, once those guys are off the board, I don't think you can go wrong taking either Trae Young or DeJounte Murray.
They're going to get the bulk of the touches and things like that in Atlanta. So, I mean,
yeah. Now two guys that I really want to talk about here are Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu. I'm high on both of these guys, actually. A lot of people are low on Capella and have been for some time because he's older. He does have a tendency to miss games, but he was 41st overall per game last year.
Yeah, now there's no John Collins, right?
So no John Collins. He only played 65 games, so that's a concern. And there are all kinds of trade rumors again. Much like John Collins before he got dealt.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that situation shakes out. But I think people are sleeping too much on Capella. And even if he gets moved, he's going to go to a team that presumably wants to use him for the type of player that he is, which is a really solid starting center and a good defensive center and just a good quality guy that does a lot across nine categories in fantasy. So he's a guy that I think is slipping way too far in drafts. And, you know, if you miss out on those, like, you know, hot names that are out there at the five spot that we talked about earlier, I don't have a problem grabbing Clint Capella anywhere, like, you know, mid rounds.
Yeah.
Fifth, sixth, seventh round. If he's sitting there, go get him.
I completely agree. I took Clint Capella in our mock draft. That was last night we did that one. And I loved where I got him, and I just love him. Like I said, John Collins gone. We talked about Trae Young and his inefficiencies. He's jacking shit up from, you know, half court, and that means rebounds. And if you got a guy like Clint Capella, and just rebounds alone is huge. But like you said, defensively, you get the blocks. And his field goal percentage is always super high because he's shooting very close to the basket. So,
yeah. And then you mentioned John Collins being gone. I love Onyeka Okongwu. He is like my guy this year. I've been specifically targeting him in drafts. ESPN has him super low, so I know where he is. I go get him in every draft. And it sucks because ESPN has a four center minimum, and they only have Okongwu listed as a center. So I always have to make sure, okay, like I've got three centers, right? Okay, I've got room for Okongwu. I can take him here. All right, cool. But yeah, I absolutely love him. He was great last year too, off the bench. He finished 76th per game, and he played 80 games, less than half the game, though. He only played 23 minutes a game. So you got to think those numbers are coming up. So, yeah, it'd be nice to see those two guys play together. I would love to see Okongwu get some power forward minutes. I don't know that it's going to happen, though. He's not really – he doesn't have a power forward kind of game. You know, he plays more in the middle. He's kind of a rim runner, a lot like Capella. And, you know, in today's day and age in the NBA, it's all about floor spacing and movement. So it's not the greatest fit. And I think that's why a lot of people are hoping that Capella gets traded so that they can just kind of unleash Okongwu. You know, I don't know that a trade's going to happen or not, but either way, I'm willing to roll the dice on Okongwu, you know, relatively early too. I've got him pretty high in my pre-rankings. I got him like in the 60s or 70s, something like that. Very, very high on him. And yeah, I think either way, even if there isn't a trade, I think they'll find ways to get him out there on the floor. And, you know, maybe Capella gets load managed a little bit too. We'll have to see. I mean, like we said, he only played 65 games last year. He is a year older now. We'll have to kind of wait and see. And then they have a million forwards. They just have so many guys. They've got DeAndre Hunter. They've got Sadiq Bey. They've got Bogdan Bogdanovich, AJ Griffin, Jalen Johnson. They have all these guys, Garrison Matthews, Wesley Matthews, just so many guys, a litany of forwards. I do think Hunter will continue to start. I have no idea who's going to start at that four spot. I'd love to see Okongwu. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's probably either Sadiq Bey, AJ Griffin, possibly Jalen Johnson. I think Bogdanovich is probably the best of the bunch in terms of fantasy. But I'm not super high on him, especially with all of those guys there. I think they kind of cancel each other out a little bit. So, I'm probably not drafting any of those guys. If you want to take Bogdanovich late, fine. But just be prepared for, you know, some ups and downs.
Yeah, completely agreed. I probably won't get any of these people on my team because maybe Clint Capella, because I'm a little bit higher on him than it sounds like other people are. And like you said, on Kongwu, you can steal him somewhere towards the middle end.
Well, yeah. We'll see what happens when Yahoo opens up here. They should be opening any day now. So when they do, we'll have to see where he is in the pre-rankings. And of course, you know, they'll all adjust once there's ADP data out there, and just in general, you know, once we kind of see where guys are, and you know, once preseason begins, we'll kind of see some of the rotations a little
bit. Do they use it? This maybe is a stupid question. Do they use mock drafts as any?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. They use all that information.
That's where we find out kind of where guys are getting drafted. That's where we get the ADP information. And then
I didn't know if they weighted it based on different rankings or things like that from, you know, experts or like public mock drafts, I guess is more or less what
it
maybe
starts
I'm getting
off.
At.
I think it starts off with the quote unquote experts saying based on last year and based on our projections, here's where we have them. And then when they see somebody getting drafted way later or way earlier, they say, okay, we need to go ahead and adjust these a little bit.
For sure.
And I think that's pretty much how it works out. I love Yahoo because they let you load your own rankings in and you can keep them. And then you could go from mock draft to mock draft and bring your rankings into that mock draft. And so I just go right off my rankings and I'm not worried about, you know, where they have people because I'm just looking at them on my own. You know, I'll still pay attention to kind of where guys are getting picked. So I know, oh, okay, you know, I can probably, even though I'm really high on this guy, you know, he is sliding, I could probably wait around and then take him. But in general, I'm not doing a lot of that. I'm usually just, I'm taking my guys where I want to take them because I know I can get them.
Sounds good. I think maybe that's where we stop it. If you're cool with that. We'll pop in next week, start with Cleveland, Indiana, and get into our Detroit Pistons. One thing I totally neglected mentioning at the top of the show that I wanted to get in real quick, was Marjan. You had mentioned that off air and you're like, we got to talk about this. And he had scored the 83 points in the crossover league in Seattle.
Yeah. How do you say his last name? Is it Beauchamp?
I think it, yeah, it's either Beauchamp or Beauchamp. I'm not sure if it's
it's one of
hard C, but, yeah. But yeah, no, he had what, 83 points, a crossover league record. All I can say about that is, I did watch some of the highlights. I don't know if I'm impressed anytime somebody scores 83 points, no matter what. That means they were shooting the ball well. But I don't know really how competitive and defensively tight it is. He was probably not passing the ball that often and just taking every shot, but still impressive by any means.
Yeah, and again, he's on the Milwaukee Bucks, so he's buried in that rotation. And yeah, he's just a guy to kind of keep an eye on. If you play late into the season and it's silly season and the Bucks are resting all their guys, he's probably somebody that you should pick up. Other than that, don't bother touching him.
Sounds good.
Time to go, Maryland.
All right. So I think that'll cover it. Like I said, next week we'll have the usual and then pop into the rest of that group with Cleveland, Indiana, Detroit, and then probably start into the East Group B. But as always, we thank everybody for listening to Menace Podman. You can find episodes every week wherever you find podcasts. Of course, you know, tweet us anything. If you got any questions, send us some messages. Please, yeah. Obviously, get on wherever you're listening to us and leave us a rating. We greatly appreciate it. We thank everybody that helps us get these podcasts out there. And we love doing this. It's every week, it's fun and look forward to it every single week. But yeah, that's about it. So go leave a message, get a review out there, leave us a rating, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
And Miss Parman.
Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money.